Hello, fellow realists. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Friday, May 27. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Today, our economy has sprung a leak. Well, one of my real passions is sailing. Anytime I'm out on the water is pure heaven. I especially enjoy those small one-man boats, the lasers, sunfish, and dinghies. I remember the first time I was in a boat that sank. I was at scout camp many years ago, and a drain plug in the back broke. It was letting in water, and it's a strange sensation when the boat's sinking. At first, you really don't know what's happening, but you can quickly tell that the tiller is much heavier, the boat is hard to steer, and by the time you look down and see your feet are underwater, you're well on your way to going under. Now, fortunately, the boat I was in was fiberglass and probably not actually capable of even going underwater. But it was capable of taking on enough water so that I could barely maneuver it back to the dock. And what had begun as a lighthearted jaunt on the briny deep quickly deteriorated into a real chore. And for months now, this economy has been taking on water. Those of you who have followed ValueSide know we started really following our favorite indicator in January of last year. And this favorite indicator of the water coming overboard in the economy is called the balance of trade in goods. I like the measure of goods because this unambiguously shows how much this country makes versus how much we have to buy from other countries. That's the trade deficit, the shortfall, and it tells us how much we are sinking as an economy. Now, there was a time about 50 years ago when America produced all the goods that we could consume, and then even more, and the surplus we sold to other nations. And this was the story of America for its first two centuries as a nation. Before we begin to explore just why we have a trade deficit now, there's a couple of things to recognize. First, this year after year, never-ending endemic trade deficits only began about 50 years ago. And have been with us ever since. But this real serious type of deficit, well, it began just a couple of years ago. And that means that we're really sinking fast. It's important to get some kind of a time frame so that we can see what forces were at work during the time that things changed. Now, our story begins in February of 1972, when then-President Richard Nixon had a full state visit to China. The first time any U.S. president had done so, and a sure sign that America was ready to do business with China. Now, shortly thereafter, trade began between the two nations, and while in the beginning the advantage was clearly with the U.S., and the U.S. built up surpluses, it did not take China long to realize that they could undercut those U.S. prices. By ignoring all the rules and regulations that U.S. manufacturers had to operate under, China could make everything just a little cheaper, and so they did. That was step one for China. They made everything cheaper. Then step two of this long half-century process, our own U.S. manufacturers began to see that they, too, could move their U.S. plants and factories across the Pacific, and they would gain the same price advantage as the Chinese. A price advantage that was many times gained on the backs of oppressed workers and environmentally dirty factories. Now, the first U.S. company to make that move was sporting goods company Nike, followed shortly thereafter by Apple Computer. And now what's become a literal flood of U.S. manufacturing operating not just in China, but now in all of Asia. All of which has led naturally to the U.S. loss of their own factories and plants. Don't ask if you can have your television or iPhone or some machinery made here in the U.S. We simply don't have those plants anymore. And all that brings us to the last couple of years. Now, in the last 2 years, we've seen our good trade deficit jump by a remarkable 26%. In other words, we're importing a quarter more than we did at the beginning of 2020. Our economic ship is really taking on water. And I'll speculate here, but let me tell you what I see. There's one remaining shortage that the U.S. is still facing. And this shortage is making us go elsewhere for all the goods we need. It's a shortage that we see every day, and that economists are talking about constantly. We don't have enough workers. Since the end of the pandemic, The JOLTS, job report on job openings, has been running at about 10 million job openings every single month. Plants and businesses need more people to be fully operational, and because there simply aren't enough workers, these plants run at less than full capacity. So as an economy, we look overseas for most of those goods that we still need. Last year, we needed $1 trillion more than we made. And at the rate we're going so far this year, I expect that shortfall to grow to $1.5 trillion. We're taking on water, and we're taking on water fast. In today's economic news, interesting news coming out of China, where they are reporting on the Chinese overall corporate profits for April, and the numbers look pretty dismal. For April, total corporate profits slid to a mere 3.5%. That's less than half the level they achieved in March. But even more stunning was where those profits came from. Profits from those corporations owned by the state, up nearly 14%, while those companies that are privately owned showed a slight loss for the month. That just goes to show that in communist China, it still pays to work for the state-owned enterprise. Now, just reporting has been the latest balance of trade in goods, and for the fifth month in a row, our trade deficit topped $100 billion. These 5 months have been the only time in history that we've seen trade deficits this high. And while April's deficit is down from March, it still points to an annual deficit this year of well over $1 trillion. Unfortunately, today lends credence to my thesis that our economy is still sinking. Now, in good news, bad news on income and inflation, the good news was that personal income increased by 0.4% for April. But the bad news was that fully half of that income gain was washed away by inflation, which rose 0.2%. Now, in earnings so far this morning, it looks like Wall Street is not in a good mood, at least not as it addresses earnings. So far, some very negative responses to results reported by marijuana company Canopy Growth, sporting goods company Hibbett Sports, and retailer Big Lots. Finally, there's an article in today's Washington Post that is creating quite a stir on the trading desk this morning. In the article, the Post paints an extremely bleak picture of Ukraine's chances in this war. Most on the street are taking it that Ukraine has already lost the war. Traders are asking, then, where the $40 billion aid package went, if this is true. Signed just a week ago, $40 billion of U.S. taxpayers' dollars presumably have been given to what may now be considered a losing cause. Zero Hedge is reporting this is a stunning shift by the Washington Post. And at least on Wall Street, this news is raising many questions about both America's role in this war as well as the media's reporting on it. And that's the value side for this Friday, May 27. For all of our podcasts and blog posts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.